Well, good evening, everyone. How are you tonight? Good? Awesome. Well, it's good to see all of you. You know, I was so ministered to as we were worshiping the Lord, and there was a line that stuck out to me in one of the songs, and it was actually that last song that we sang, and it was, "See the love in your eyes. See the love in your eyes." And so what I want to do tonight is I want to talk to you about the love that God has, and I want to show you the love that God has for you. I want you to see the love in His eyes for you. Now, there are certain things that are not so easy to see, and you need tools to be able to see things clear. For example, if at night you look out in the sky, you might see things out in the sky that are beautiful, amazing. But if you were to get a telescope and be able to look through that tool, you would see things in a whole deeper, more profound way. And what God has given us is here, His Word. This is what allows us to see the love that He has for each one of us. And I want to share with you Psalm 139, and there are six things that I hope encourage your hearts, because in these things you'll see behind it all is a great God that loves you in ways that we still have not been able to discover. But I hope today you leave with a little more, hopefully a lot more, sense and awareness of the love that Jesus has for you. But also, these things will show you that you have the hand of God on your life, that you have God's favor on your life. You already have it. Sometimes we might think to ourselves, man, I really want God's hand on my life. Have you ever thought that? Yeah. Or, man, I really want to experience the favor of God. I really want the favor of God on my life. Well, what I'm going to share with you is that already exists. You already have God's hand on your life. You already have God's favor on your life, and it's all motivated by the love that God has for you. And what I want to do is I just want to show it to you. Then I want you to take time and think about it. Think about what we're going to read tonight, what we're going to see tonight. And you have to do that in private. You have to leave here and you have to spend some time alone with God over this text, over Psalm 139. And I guarantee if you spend enough time where the Word of God ministers to your spirit and causes you to just go from yourself into, in a sense, where you connect with the Spirit of God, and it's more than just reading words on a page, and the Spirit of God is ministering to your heart and influencing your spirit as you read the Word, you will see the love that God has. You will see the love in His eyes for you. So are you ready? Well, let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your goodness and grace, and we thank You for Your Word that is so holy and so pure, Lord. Your Word tells us that You esteem Your Word even above Your name. And God, we thank You that Your Word reveals so many things, but tonight we just want to focus on the love that You have for us and how it's revealed on the fact that Your favor is upon us. And we give you all glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Psalm 139, there are six things that will show you that you already have God's favor on your life. Now, what I want to do first is I just want to go through this psalm together. There is 24 verses. And what I want you to do is I just want you to see the way the psalmist is thinking and what the psalmist is revealing and how personal the psalmist is speaking. It's almost as if the psalmist, it's almost as if David thinks that God is only about him. God is only for him. And man, wouldn't it be wonderful if we all got a greater understanding of how God is for me, how God is for you, on a very, very personal level, almost as if you could be with that mentality of David and think, God, you love me, you are for me. And I almost feel like no one else exists. It's just me and you. You love me this much, and it's profound. And God does. He loves you so much. Now let's read it and just see how David talks. And this should provoke you. It provokes me to almost, I want that. The thing is it already exists. All I have to do is just believe what already exists. In other words, the kind of relationship that David and God had, God says, I'm here for you, Dave. Not King David, me. I'm here for you, Dave. You've put in your name. I'm here for you. You just have to realize how much I am here for you and how much I love you. If you could realize it like David, then you'll experience my hand on your life. Even you'll be more aware of it. You'll be more aware of it. Thus, you'll experience God's hand on your life more. Anyway, listen to what he says. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted, notice, with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Amazing, profound, deep, rich. The relationship that David had with God, it seems unique, but God is available to each one of us. We are all his children. And I want to show you six things that it's so important for you to see so that you understand that you have God's hand upon your life. The first is this: you are blown away by the amazing grace that God has shown you. If you have a sense within your spirit, you are just in awe and wonder of how gracious God has been to you, then you realize the hand of God is on your life. Think about what he says here. Look at verse 1. He says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down, my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path. Am I lying down? My movement? My activity? And even when I'm at rest in private and are acquainted with all my ways, the way that I think, the way that I behave, the things that I say, even before I say it, you already know what I'm going to say, and you know what's motivating me. You know everything about me, the good, the bad. You know the wickedness, the sin. You know the filthy thoughts, the wrong motives. You know my strengths, you know my weaknesses. You know me better than I know myself. In verse 4, he says, for there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. You have, in spite of knowing everything about me, you are protecting me and your grace is upon me. And then he says, I am blown away by your grace. He doesn't say it in those words, but he puts it this way. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I can't attain it. I can't understand, in other words, how you, God, who is so good, would love a wretch like me. You ever feel that way? Isn't God so good? You can't surprise him. Your failures can't exhaust his grace and mercy. There's nothing, because you are his child, and I believe that every born again child of God, and every child of God is born again, every true child of God is born again because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Every child of God can have the same confidence if they really fully understand the love that God has for them in spite of their flaws and their failures. And see, this is a little tool, if you would, and I shouldn't say little, God's word is not little, but God's word is a tool. It's a way that gives us the ability to look into the love that God has for us. And David was blown away, that because David says, you know everything about me, you know what gets me upset, you know, when I'm down and out, you know, and how I am when I'm alone, secret, my, you know, every single, there's nothing that you don't know about me. And God, it blows my mind that you are using me and protecting me. It blows my mind. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. When you have the favor of God, and you understand the favor of God and the grace of God on your life, you are blown away by it. Do you feel blown away?
Yes.
Well, then you're on the right track. The second thing is that you are very, very much aware that God is always with you. This is how you know and you understand the favor of God is upon you. The grace of God is upon you. And my only hope is just to kind of focus on this text, amplify it, cause us to see it, and to encourage you to go and read it more and read it more and read it more and pray, God, give me a greater or a deeper understanding of the love that you have for me. Let me see the love in your eyes for me. But when you experience God's hand upon you, and you know it, you believe it, you know, you're always very, very much aware God is with me. God is always with me. No matter what I'm going through, God is always with me. Look what he says. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I, notice, flee from your presence? Have you ever been so ashamed of something you've done that you want to run? You feel like you can't go to God? Why would anybody want to flee from God? If you remember, who tried to hide themselves? And who pursued them? Even in our weaknesses, no matter what, nothing can separate us from our Savior. He says, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. But he says, behold, look, look. And this, to me, speaks of you could sense, in a sense, say the highs and lows of life. And we know what it's like to experience some real mountaintop experiences with God, right? Then we know what it's like to experience some low lows when we blow it big. We make our bed in hell. And we almost wonder, is there any hope for us? And here the psalmist says, God is there. In your high highs and in your low lows, God is always with you. He says, if I take the wings of the morning, you know, it's the sunrise. It gives somewhat of a connotation of something very fast or moving or traveling at the speed of light. If I could travel at the speed of light and just try to take off, when I arrive to my destination, you're there. He says, and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. No matter how far I go, up, down, east, west, there is no place that I can go that you're not with me. He says, if I say, surely the darkness shall fall upon me, even the night shall be light about me. And it's so wonderful, those times when we might be so depressed and in such a dark place, where God reaches us with his loving light and changes our perspective completely and infuses hope and faith within our beings and causes us to think, what was I thinking? God, you're with me. You are with me, God. Thank you, God. You will never leave me nor forsake me. Verse 12, indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. God can handle anything. He can handle our darkness. And you know what he does with it? As we confess it, what does he do? He cleanses us. And he can work and show us his loving light, give us understanding and wisdom light. It causes you to be able to see. And God gives us his light so we could see his word and his spirit, and gives us understanding so we can live even coming out of dark situations or coming out of troubles or whatever it may be. God gives us what we need in order to be able to rise above anything. So not only are you in awe of the grace of God, and not only are you aware that God is always with you, when you have the favor of God and you understand you're aware of the favor of God, a third thing is that you understand that you are not a mistake, that you have been created by a loving God with purpose. And the more that we walk with the Lord and the more that we are in his word, the more we walk into that very purpose that God created us for. And you understand that. You understand, I'm not a mistake. God, you created me. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and you created me with purpose. And every single day and everything that happens, I may not understand it, but God, you have a purpose in all of it. And I know ultimately The purpose is to conform me into the image of your glorious Son. Look what he says in verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. And then he, thinking about who God is and what God has done and how God is the author of his life, he bursts out here in the middle of the psalm, you could say, just in praise. He says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He says, marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. You know, I think we need, as individuals, we need to think about ourselves the way God thinks about us. And the more that we think about ourselves the way that God sees us and the way that God thinks about us, you know what will happen? You'll burst out in praise. Next time you get down on yourself, take your thoughts, trash them. Take his thoughts, treasure them. And next thing you know, you will be praising him. He says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Perhaps a poetic way of saying in my mother's womb. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. Just how involved God is in our lives, in the creation of who we are. Even before we're even formed, God is already so involved. And even before we're formed, it tells us here in verse 16, and in your book, they are all written. What is written? The days fashioned for me. See how personal that is? Here the psalmist says, you don't hear anything or anywhere where he's saying, us, your people. This is very, very personal. He talks about how God fashioned the days for him, and those days are written in his book, God's book, about David. And the same is true for all of us. Our days have been fashioned by the Lord. He created us with purpose. And it tells us when as yet there were none of them, before we had any days, all of our days were already fashioned in his book. And you know, the only purpose in this life, the only real purpose in this life is to walk with him and to experience all that he has for us for each and every one of those days. You know, some of us think that those days have to be filled with these amazing things, becoming a missionary and going somewhere else and planting, you know, a church, and then 15,000 churches come out of there and saving billions. I think that one of the most profound things we could do is walk with the Lord. I mean, the Bible tells us about Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. We don't read about Enoch building cities or doing great things for God. He just fellowshiped with God. And that's what God is looking for. People who just fellowship with him. He knows what he wants to do in each one of our lives. He knows the purpose and why we created him. I'm sorry, forgive me, why he created us. And when we fellowship with him and walk with him, naturally that purpose just manifests itself. And that's what brings the greatest joy. Not saying, what's my purpose? What's my purpose, God? What's my purpose? What brings the greatest joy is, I want to get to know you, Lord, more. I want to get to know you more, Lord. And as you get to know him more, what he created you for, just again, it's just a natural byproduct of walking with him. And you've already been experiencing it. If you're born again, you've already been experiencing this. You just have to be aware of it and see it. And the scriptures is what helps us to see what already is. You know, it's kind of like when you get a new job, and if you have a bunch of benefits and different things that the job offers you, medical and retirement and 401 and vacation, and just gives you a bunch of different, they're all yours. But you just got the job, and they give you what? They give you a handbook. And you got to find out what's already yours. Some people never look into the handbook and find out what's there available to them. So they don't experience. And then when they're 52, 53, they think, oh, maybe I should put away something for retirement. And by that time, it's not too late, but it ain't as easy as when you're 20, 25. Anyway, I don't want to get too much. I think you understand the point. I don't want to go too far off. The fourth thing is, and this is amazing to me, is there is also an awareness of how much God thinks about you. God thinks about you so much, more than you even realize. Look what he says in verse 17. He says, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. Your thoughts to me. He says, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, all the thoughts that you have to me, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. And God thinks of his children. God thinks of you so much. And that's why it's so important for us to fill our minds with God's thoughts. And whenever any thought comes against what God says, anything, even our own, you know, our own negative thoughts, we got to take those thoughts and just cast them aside and say, God, I want your mind. Your thoughts about me are so much better than my thoughts about me, than his thoughts about me, than their thoughts about me. Your thoughts about me lift my spirit and help me to understand the love that you have for me in a much more profound way. The fifth thing, and I'm not even going to try to explain this in a way that would, I don't think I can. I'm going to try to do my best, but I'm not going to try to apologize for what's said here. And I'm just going to say the fifth thing the way I see it. You hate those who hate God. You hate what God hates. You hate those who hate God. And you might think, well, that doesn't make any sense. I don't understand with the New Testament and what Jesus says, love your enemies. Yeah, that's true. We are to love our enemies. Maybe I'll explain it this way, even though I said I wasn't going to try to. You know, sometimes a better word for hate is reject. I reject what you reject. And here David expresses, I love you so much because of all that you are to me. And it's like a righteous indignation. Anyone who hates God, he says, I hate them. I'll reject them. I won't want to have anything to do with haters of God. Now, should we pray for the unbeliever? Yes, certainly. But as long as they want to be in rebellion, we're not going to partner up with them. But, you know, there are children of the devil, and there are people who just are wicked, wicked. They will not repent, and they are haters of God. You remember reading the book of Revelation? You remember the wicked people? The earth dwellers is what the Bible calls them, the earth dwellers, the wicked people. God was judging and casting out and pouring out judgment after judgment, and they were saying, rocks fall on us. They wouldn't repent, remember? They were trying to find protection from the rocks, but they would not repent because they hate God. There are people who hate God, and godly people hate what God hates. And even hates, David says here, I hate those who hate you. I hate them with a perfect hatred. Well, we know that vengeance is the Lord's. It doesn't mean David was going to go out there and just start killing everyone, saying, God spoke to me and told me to kill all haters of God. You know, that's not at all what... God will take care of his enemies. God is more than able to take care of his enemies. But for me, I will not partner up with his enemies. You could see David even saying, I hate them. Look what he says. He says, oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. This is an imprecatory psalm. These are psalms where you could see that the psalmist is asking God to judge the wicked. And isn't that something that the righteous do? God, judge the wicked. Bring your kingdom on the earth. May your kingdom come, your will be done. And deal with all injustice and all evil and all wickedness. And this is what David is saying. You would slay the wicked. Depart from me, he says, therefore, you bloodthirsty men. Notice, for they speak against you wickedly. So they're bloodthirsty. They're murderers. They hate God's creation. Well, God gives life. God gives life. They hate life and they murder. They speak, they blaspheme God. He says, your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a perfect hatred. And I count them my enemies. Okay, let me ask you, you could relate to this. Is there anyone who has ever done something to somebody you love? And because they've done something hurtful or terrible, you have an issue with them. Because you love either your child or your spouse or your friend or a sibling. And because you love them, they who've made an enemy with someone you love, now they've made an enemy with you too. And in a sense, that's how David, your enemies, God, they're my enemies. And so you hate evil and you hate those who practice evil. And yes, you pray for them. Yes, you'll witness to them. But if they don't repent, and you would welcome them with open arms, but if there's no repentance, you will not partner up with them. Because you cannot stand evil and workers of evil. Then the last thing is more than anything, you want to be pure. You want a heart that is right. in God's sight. And the only way to have that is to make yourself completely vulnerable and completely surrendered to God, where you can, with no reservation, say, God, search me. Search me. Have free rein and expose anything in me that is not pleasing to you. I don't even know. I think I might be doing good. The psalmist, you can understand that from what he's saying. I might think I'm doing good, but I don't even know. Because at the core of my being, I'm wicked. So God, I need you to examine me. Because only you can reveal to me the areas that need to be cleansed, that need to be changed. And when you understand that the favor of God is upon you, the hand of God is on your life, you want God to do that work of transformation in you, to purify you, that it's just such a desire within your soul. He puts it this way. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. You want to be led in purity. You want to be led in holiness. So these are six things. Six things that it's so important for you to become more and more aware of. Six things that show you the love that God has for you. Because His grace, His favor is already upon you. So the more that you look at these verses, and I want to encourage you, continue to look, spend some time tonight. We're going to be finishing up in just a few minutes. Spend some time tonight. You're going to get to go home a little earlier than you normally do, unless you want to stay longer. That's up to you. Or if you want, I have prepared tonight's Bible study. We can go through that and be here till about 9:30. It's up to you. All right, let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter. No, I'm just kidding. 1 I do want to encourage you, go through these verses over and over and over and over and over and see how David expresses the beautiful relationship that he has with God. And I believe because we are his children, we have the same relationship. We just, through looking through the lens, through the tool of God's word, we can get a greater and deeper understanding of what we already have in Christ. Now I'm going to invite the team to come forward. And, you know, more and more I'm just enjoying getting on my face before the Lord, getting on my knees before the Lord, corporately. You know, there's times at home I do it by myself, but I'm starting to just being more comfortable, and it's this work of God's Spirit, being more comfortable being in His house. This is His house where we can come and kneel and bow down. The Scriptures tell us. We can come before Him with singing, with thanksgiving, and with praise, and just express our worship to Him, and we can humble ourselves, kneel and bow down. So I'm going to do this here, and I think to myself, well, why can I feel comfortable at home by myself early in the morning? But then I come to church and I'm like a conservative stiff. This is your house, God. Who? I don't care. I care about my brothers and sisters, but if they see me laying or sitting or kneeling, why am I going to let that get into my head? I'm here to worship you. And so here, we're going to close, but I just want you to think of this one thing as we close and this song is being sung over us. In verse 14, he says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to pray from my heart and praise him from my spirit. I may say something or sing out loud or just stay quiet. I don't know. But I want to welcome any of you to join me.